It's good to see you guys today. I appreciate you so much, and I love it to hear you singing, and these girls do such a great job, and I'm so happy we're getting the words of the year. I just love it, so I want us to keep doing it. It's just awesome stuff, and you're getting a handout there. We've been talking about spiritual warfare now for quite a while, putting on the whole armor of God, and we've talked about putting on that belt of truth. Yeah, talked about that for quite a while. We talked about the breastplate of righteousness. We talked about the shoes of peace and the shield of faith last time. Today I want us to think about the helmet of salvation. So that's what you're getting right now. And Ephesians chapter 6 verse 17 says this: take the helmet of salvation. It actually says more than that, but that's all we're looking at today. Take the helmet of salvation. Take the helmet of salvation. Yeah. Now, we have a Father. All of us who trusted Jesus, I hope that's all of you. If it's not, you need to do that. Talk to somebody. If you're not sure whether you're trusting Jesus or not, there are a lot of people around here that'll help you with that. I'd be glad to help you, but we need to be trusting Jesus. If you trusted Jesus, you have a Heavenly Father, right? He's God. He loves you. And He knows us through and through. He knows us better than we know ourselves. And He knows how easy it is for His kids to get discouraged. You've probably been there. I've been there many, many times. And He's warned us. We talked about this before. We're not in a sprint, right? We're in a what?
Marathon.
Yeah, we're in it for the long haul, guys. We're in a race that lasts our whole life. The rest of our lives, we're in the race. It's a marathon. It's also a battle. You can think of it as a race. You can think of it as a battle. We have an enemy, Satan. We're going to be fighting him till we draw our last breath. Now, that's just what we're in for. God says that's what you're doing. And I want you to resist Satan, He says, right up to the end. Now, for most of you, that's going to be many, many years. Many, many years of spiritual warfare. And that means God wants us to persevere. Have you ever heard that word? Persevere. Endure to the end. Stay in the battle. You'll hear me say that a lot. Stay in the battle. Don't quit. Don't drop out. But He knew there'd be times when we'd get a little battle weary. And we start thinking, I'm not sure about this. And we start thinking, this didn't seem to be working for me. And we'll start thinking, I've failed so many times. And I'm not seeing the results I'd like to see. And we just kind of get discouraged. And He knew we'd be in that situation. He knew there'd be times when we'd just get discouraged. So He said, I've got a helmet for you. It's called the helmet of salvation. Actually, there's a parallel verse to this that I think is very important. It's over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. It's on your sheet there, I think, near the top, where God says, put on for a helmet the hope of salvation. You see that word hope? Yeah, He adds that word there, and I think it's an important word. Now, listen very carefully. Some of you already know this, but when God uses the word hope in the Bible, it doesn't mean what we mean when we say hope. If I were to ask you guys today, are you going to pass all your classes this year? Are you going to pass all your courses? Some of you would say, I hope so. I hope so. I hope so. And what do you mean by that? You mean, well, I intend to, and that's what I want to happen, but I'm not 100% sure. Okay, I want that to happen, but I'm just not 100% sure. It might not happen. I think it will. I hope it will. That's the way we use the word hope. But when God uses the word hope, in the New Testament, there's a Greek word there, and it doesn't mean there's any doubt at all. It means this is going to happen. It's a done deal. It's going to happen. It just hasn't happened yet. It's still in the future. That's what God's saying. It's what He means by hope. We haven't seen it yet. It's in the future, but it's going to happen. Just write it down, mark it down. Don't think it means maybe. It does. There's no maybe in there. It's the hope of our salvation means it's very, very certain. So, what He's saying is, there's a part of your salvation that you haven't experienced yet. Now, if you're in Christ, if you've trusted Jesus, there's a part of your salvation you have experienced. You've been justified. The Bible says we're justified in Christ. That's already happened. What's that mean? You've been forgiven. You've been cleansed. You've been declared to be righteous. He said, I don't feel very righteous. God says, you are, because Jesus has cleansed you of all your sin. He does that. It's amazing. We're justified. There's another part of our salvation that's going on right now. It's already happened and it's still happening. He calls that sanctification. What does that mean? It's a fancy word that means you've been set apart. That's what sanctification means. Made holy, set apart for God's purpose, for God's use. He's got a job for you. He's got a purpose for you to bring Him glory, and He set you apart. That's already happened and it's still happening. And then there's another part of your salvation you haven't seen yet. And he calls that glorification. He's saying there's coming a time when you're going to get a new body. It's going to be awesome, guys. I mean, these movies about these heroes don't compare to the body you're going to have. It's going to be awesome. It's never going to die. It's going to be indestructible. It's going to be immortal. It's never going to get sick. It's going to have powers that we can't even imagine yet. That's part of our salvation. That's the hope of our salvation. And God's saying it's as good as done. It's not a hope in the sense of maybe. It's secure because of what Jesus has already done for us. He's already taken care of it when he died on the cross for us. So I want us to look at, on that sheet, at some of the things that God says about this. Now, this is how we can pray. You notice I start these with, I confess, but look at Galatians 6:9. In due season, that is at the right time, it may be several years for us, I shall reap if I do not faint. You see it? That's what God says. You're going to reap. Don't worry, it's going to happen. Just don't quit. Look at Romans 8:18. The sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that should be revealed to me. Listen, some of us are suffering. Some of you are going to do some suffering. Most of us will do some suffering at one time or other. Some of us will do a lot of suffering. He says, it's all right. It's not worthy to be compared to the glory that's coming. It's going to be awesome. Look at the next one, 2 Corinthians 4:17. This is Paul writing this. He said, our light affliction. Wait a minute, Paul. How can you say light affliction? You were beaten severely many, many times. You were stoned in Lystra and they threw you out of the city as dead. How can you call that light affliction? You went through shipwrecks. You were put in some of the most awful, horrible dungeons and prisons imaginable. And you finally got your head cut off. How do you call that light affliction? He said, when I compare it to eternity, it's light. Which is but for a moment. Wait a minute, Paul, what do you mean a moment? You went through years and years and years of that. He says, well, compared to eternity, it's just a moment. My light affliction, which is but for a moment, whatever you're going through, it's light and it's but for a moment, even if it seems heavy. What's he say? It works for me a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Something awesome coming up, guys. Look at the next one, Colossians 1:27. Christ Jesus in me is my hope of glory. There's that word again, hope. Doesn't mean maybe, certainty. He's our hope of glory. Look at Romans 8:30. Whom he justified, these he also glorified. Good is done. Romans 13:11. Now is my salvation nearer than when I first believed. We're getting closer, guys, every day. A little closer, a little closer. Look at Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Don't misuse that verse. That doesn't mean you can pass a test when you haven't studied because Christ strengthens you. That's not what he's talking about. He's saying, I'll get you through every trial. I'll get you through every test, through everything you have to go through. You'll be able to do it because Christ is going to strengthen you to get through it. That's what he means. Before we stop, I want us to look at some of those verses from Paul's letter to the Romans. I've just got a few more verses there that talks about how great our hope of salvation is. Look at Romans 5:8-10 there. But God demonstrates his own love toward us. This is such an awesome passage. In that while we were yet sinners, what did Christ do? He died for us. Do you understand what he's saying? While you were a sinner, when you were in rebellion against God, when you were not going God's way at all, you were just living life for yourself. You were enemies of God, actually, he says. Christ died for us when we were in that shape. Isn't that amazing? He died for us. Now look what he says to finish it out. Much more than having now been justified, we've already been justified by his blood. What's that mean? He's made us his kids already. He's forgiven us our sins. He's made us part of his family. We're justified. He says, well, if he's done that, certainly we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God. What's that mean? We were brought to peace with God. We were enemies of God, and Christ brought us to a place where we're at peace with God now. We have peace with God through Jesus. We're not enemies anymore. Through the death of his son, much more having been reconciled, that's already happened, we shall be saved by his life. What he's doing there is giving us an argument from the greater to the lesser. He said, he's already done the hard part. When you were enemies and rebels, he died for you. Now you're his kids. You're part of his family. You think he's not going to take care of you now? Of course he is. If he died for you in an enemy, he's going to take care of you. So look on the back sheet. Turn it over. Romans chapter 8, verse 29 and 30. For whom he foreknew, listen to this, it's amazing. He also predestined. That means God knew you before the foundation of the world. And he predestined you to become conformed to the image of his son. He said, I want you to be mine. That he might be the firstborn among many brothers. We're part of his family. We're brothers of Jesus. He's our elder brother. And whom he predestined, these he also called. What's that mean? Well, there came a time when after he had chosen you, when you felt this thing in your heart that said, I need to repent. I'm a sinner. I need Jesus. I need forgiveness. And so you put your trust in Jesus and you repented of your sin. And when that happened, you were called. And then he says, what happened? Whom he called, these he also justified. That's already happened. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. You see, that's past tense. I haven't been glorified yet. God says, it's good as done. You're glorified. We have a hope of glory. We have a hope of our salvation. Look at verse 31. What then shall we say that God is for us? Who's against us? And you might be saying, if you're doubting things, you think, boy, Satan's against us. Man, Satan's pretty rough and Satan's pretty tricky and he's pretty sneaky and he's pretty ugly and he fights dirty. And that's all true. But if God is for us, what can Satan do to us? That's what he's saying. Who can be against us? Look at the next verse. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? He's reinforcing what we saw in Romans chapter 5 a minute ago. He said, look, God's already done the hard part. Jesus has died for us. Surely he's going to give us everything he knows we need. He'll take care of us all the way through. We have this hope of glory. Look at verses 33 and 34 on down there. Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God's the one who justifies. Who's the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died. Yes, rather, who was raised, who's at the right hand of God, who does what? Intercedes for us. God justifies. Jesus intercedes. Jesus died for us. What can Satan do to you if God and Jesus are on your side? You don't have to worry about that. Look at how he finishes this chapter, starting verse 35 there at the end. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? No. Shall distress? No. Persecution? No. Famine? No. Nakedness? No. Peril? No. Sword? No. Just as it's written, for your sake, we're being put to death all day long. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered. A lot of suffering going on there. But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. Listen to this. This is one of the most awesome passages in Scripture. For I'm convinced that what? Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Isn't that awesome? What can separate you from the love of God? Nothing, guys, nothing. God says, I'm giving you a helmet. It's a helmet of the hope of your salvation. You wear that helmet, and no matter what happens between now and then, you be confident, I'm going to fix it. I'm going to bring you through. You don't have to worry. You don't have to be afraid. Yeah, there'll be tough times. Yeah, Satan will sometimes seem to have the upper hand. Yeah, everything will seem to be going wrong sometimes. Just keep that helmet of salvation on and realize you've got a hope of glory that is incredible. I'm going to bring you through it, and that will help you stay in the battle. Okay? Amen. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for this armor you've given us that we can use to resist our enemy. Thank you, Lord, that the enemy is defeated. And we don't have to give ground to him. We don't have to listen to him. We don't have to do things his way. We can look to you and get all the strength we need and draw all the information we need, all the armor we need to keep it in place so that we can resist the devil and win the battle. Thank you that you've already won the victory when Jesus died on the cross. Thank you that Jesus, you conquered Satan and hell and death and the grave forever. And so thank you, thank you, thank you that you've given us this helmet of salvation that reminds us that we have a hope of incredible glory, hope of salvation that we haven't seen yet, a part of it we haven't seen yet, that is certain, Lord, that we can look forward to with great joy and anticipation, knowing that whatever we go through, we've got an incredible future that you've planned for us. And we thank you for that. And I pray that you'd help us all keep that helmet in place and bring you a lot of glory and stay in the battle. In Jesus' name, amen.